Hello, we are pounding the streets of a leafy suburb in Greater Manchester. This is more like a place where you hang out, to be honest, Anna, than me.
That's so judgmental.
Nah.
Why is that? Because it's filled with coffee shops and nail shops.
Well, yeah, I suppose so, actually. Yeah, I didn't really think about that. Oh, well, we're walking towards somewhere, we hope, with a bench. We can sit down, because today we're talking about our attitudes, about gratitude, about all that kind of jazz, because we've been inspired. We have got our mitts on an article which was written by the Queen herself, Margaret Miles Bramwell, many, many moons ago, but we think that the words are still relevant today.
So profound still today, aren't they?
Yeah. So as we kind of head towards our lovely park, and find a tree that looks like it's kind of got blossom on.
I know.
That's a sign that spring is coming, people. We'll get out of the wind. And in the meantime, here are the ukuleles. So, welcome to Slimming World Podcast. I am Claire, and this is
Anna.
Yes, we are two occasionally sensible people that,
let's not push it,
have been following the Slim World plan for a number of years, and our podcast has been going for over 3 years, and love talking about ways to make losing weight, or following the Slim World plan in particular, a bit more fun. So today, gratitude and our mindsets, and you know, a big part, I suppose, of what we've always talked about in the podcast, Anna, has been like around, you know, the psychology of where your head is at when you lose weight. Yes, you know, people can potentially follow a food plan, but sometimes we know that's not necessarily what it's all about.
I think you could follow any food plan, but if your mind's not in it, nothing's going to happen. And it's about knowing that, get your head in the right shape, and the rest will fall into place. But I don't think that we do enough work on our mindset sometimes, and we don't realise how important it is to get it in a good shape, do we?
No.
Or actually, think about it a different way, how we may be polluting our minds and not getting it in the best shape. How the things that we may be doing inadvertently could be affecting our mind space and our ability to lose weight. Isn't this pretty?
Wow. Well, we've come to a lovely square park to ponder life. It happens to be sunny and nice, and you know, the crocuses are peering up through the ground, and a few blossom trees, just wonderful. Like, you know, these are my first blossom trees that I've seen this year.
Aww.
And these are the things I think, what a nice way, not a nice place to record a gratitude episode.
Isn't it? Do you know, cherry blossom was my dad's favourite, and ever since he died, every time I see one, I feel, now you say it, like gratitude, like I feel happiness when I see them, because it reminds me of my little dad. Sweet.
Some daffodils in front of us. We'll just take this park bench. Oh, take my bag off, and I'm going to grab my phone, because in here I have screenshot the article that we happen to be talking about. So 1 second, hold the line, caller.
I thought she was going to get me to hold the microphone. For those of you that have been listening for a long time, you'll know she very, very, very rarely lets me hold anything microphone related, because she's scared I might break it. I've never actually broken it though, have I?
No, I won't allow it.
No.
Okay, so this particular article, in quote marks, let's just start with like the headline here. The quote says, "We have the power to do whatever we set our minds to. Let's always hold on to the thought that together we can do it." This is an article from a Slimming World magazine of 2003.
Oh my gosh.
And one of the directors at Slimming World, Rebecca, happened to pass this on to us. Mm. Rebecca's like an oracle.
She is.
She just knows everything, has everything. And she slipped us a copy of this and said, this might be relevant, this might be interesting to you. And I think attitude and gratitude, so it's kind of called, the opening line of it, it says, ever heard of an attitude of gratitude? Mm. And how she hadn't until she met a terminally ill woman who she goes on to kind of say had inspired her to kind of think of the things that you do have rather than the things you don't have and where you're at right now.
You know, it's so profound, this, to me, because this is how my dad, as a man who'd been very seriously ill since the age of 13 and died at 73, lived his life. And when I had my major accident with my back, and you know, my world kind of finished and restarted, this was the attitude. He said, you adopt this positive attitude where you try and find the outlook of good in everything, no matter whether or not there is good in everything. Your mind lifts. And actually, do you know what? Practice positivity and positive thoughts follow. Have negative thoughts and negative thoughts follow. And actually, I found after I had my first nervous breakdown that this kind of shift in mindset and looking at what is there, you know, the glass half full, not half empty, really had a profound effect on my entire life. And it's what I've always tried to do with my weight loss journey, because do you know what? There's been some major mess ups in my weight loss journey. And you can berate yourself, can't you, so much about the things that you haven't done or the things you could have done better or should have done better, that actually sometimes that holds you back from progressing.
Mm-hmm. And I think many of us are only sharing a fraction of what we're truly thinking, the thoughts going through our minds. And many people kind of come to the start of their weight loss journey in a really negative place, maybe feeling guilty, feeling the shame. We've got like patterns of emotional eating that we're kind of grappling with. You know, there's lots of different things. And even, you know, if we might have a gain along the way, those kind of old limiting beliefs can kind of creep their way back in. And it's like, well, I told you so. I think, who do you think you are doing this?
Yeah, that it's never going to happen. Yeah. I think it starts really early on. So I meet a lot of people who will sit in my new member talk thinking about all the things they've got to give up, not all the things they're going to gain. So, you know, I'm coming to do this, but I can't have my sausages that I want, and I can't drink my wine, and I can't have my chocolate. And actually, just a small shift in mindset could go, well, actually, do you know what? I'm going to swap my wine that's costing me a lot of energy with not very much nutrition to something different. Actually, I won't be having the sausages I used to have, but actually I can have these ones instead. And I think it's about your perception of the situation, isn't it? But it can be very hard to catch yourself doing it. And what I've found with trying to get a more positive and gracious mindset is acknowledging the negativity that actually goes through my brain, how I talk to myself and spot the things that I may inadvertently be saying and doing and not realising.
Well, let's just kind of come back to this article. Let me read you a couple of paragraphs on this on the early on. So, like everything else in life, we have the power to change how we see things too. We're in control of so many aspects of our life, and that's really something for which we can all be enormously thankful every single day. We can, if we wish, choose to be grumpy, critical and negative. As slimmers, we can choose to focus on what we give up in order to lose weight, not what we can have freely. Yeah. We can focus on how many sins in this or that and not on the great variety of free food we can eat with food optimizing. I've got a sneaky suspicion though, if we choose negativity, we won't do too well in achieving our goal. And that's kind of backing up really what you were talking about there.
Yeah, it's that understanding that actually you can look at the same situation through two different perspectives, and depending on which way you look at it will give you a different outcome. And I remember when I had so much weight to lose and being so scared by how much weight I had to lose, and a consultant said to me, flip it on its head, take it a milestone at a time rather than thinking the end mountain. Yes, we know that's the mountain you want to climb, but actually look at it through a more positive perspective. You've had the courage to come and do something about it. So your first step was joining, you've succeeded, you joined. The second step is getting started, the third step is going to be your half stone award, and celebrating all those small things rather than looking at, well, I've let myself down, I've got here, this shouldn't have happened. No, I had the courage to come back. And it's just stopping and taking some time and looking at what you are thinking and what you're saying, because we blame a lot of outside influences on, I can't do this because of this, but actually it's our own minds that limits our own capability sometimes. You know, I often go back to that notion of a toddler and watching a toddler learn to walk. When they fall over, you don't go, you're rubbish, you can't walk, stay down. You go, come on, you can do this, get up, let's try again. But as people trying to lose weight and be successful in a weight loss journey, we can sometimes really stumble because our success is not what we believe it should be, or not as fast as it should be, or the fact that we're having to do it in the first place. Like, I don't know if you ever felt this, but I felt angry. I felt really angry that I was fat. I felt really angry that I had all that weight to go. I felt really annoyed that, you know, my friends didn't have that, and I couldn't eat what I wanted. And I realised the only thing that was being affected by the anger was me. And what I ate, because I was angry, I ate some more.
Yeah.
And then I felt unsuccessful, so I ate some more. And it's taking stock and capturing it. And I know you're really brilliant at journaling, and I think you probably catch yourself, you know, as you may be doing these things or when you're in that thought process. But a lot of us, we will have millions upon millions of thoughts per day, and many will glide through our consciousness, but we will hold on to some. And 90% of the time, they're the negative ones, aren't they? They're the limiting ones.
I think I've just, with my journal, I've tried to like do different things. So,
yeah, that's interesting.
You know, I don't write the same thing. I don't do Dear Diary. One of the things that I did spend a while is just capturing. So I remember one day I was feeling really down, and I had my watch on, and every time I kind of had a negative thought, I'd just write it and write the time next to it.
Oh, how interesting.
And then at the end of the day, I realised that I was having the same thought quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'd counted up, like I'd had that negative thought 12 times, another negative thought 9 times. And so it was almost like I was kind of repeating the same stories in my head.
Yeah.
So I was able to really see, what is that story I'm capturing? Why is that one particularly poignant at the moment? And just think about it from a different perspective.
And I think as well, what we do with thoughts is we don't realise the more often we think the same thing, the more strength it gives to our subconscious. And as slimmers, we sabotage. And if we are strengthening our subconscious, which will in the end turn to sabotage, you got to realise that that's coming from you. So just a little switch can change that mindset. And it's like anything, you have to practice this, right? Like, I get a lot of people like, how are you so positive? How are you? Do you know what? I choose to be, because actually I've been through quite a lot of stuff in my life, physical and mental, that if I'd sat and wallowed, I would have never have got through it. So I had to choose a different direction. And it's a hard thing to do, because sometimes you just want to lie in your bed and feel a bit sorry for yourself, rather than turning around and actually going, well, do you know what? I've got something like, you know, I've got a beautiful daughter and I love her, or the sun's shining today. Sometimes you want to go, yeah, but I've got £1,000 worth of debt and I've got this or whatever. So it is a conscious choice to choose your mind to be in that kind of positive mind frame, and it's a hard one sometimes to choose. I don't know if you find that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't want to be positive, do you?
No, I've definitely been guilty of kind of thinking that I can think myself out of like situations. I remember like when I was feeling really down, like the depression had gone on for about a year and a half, and I was like, okay, I don't think this me sitting around thinking that I can think my way out of this, it's not really working.
No.
So sometimes I think thoughts are helpful and sometimes they're not, and it's been able to recognise that.
So true.
I was in like a yoga class the other week, and I'm trying to do more yoga at the moment because I think it helps me be, add a bit of pause, slow down and be a bit more introspective.
Mm-hmm.
And the yoga teacher said something that really stopped me in my tracks. I had to write it down when it came out in my phone. She said that you would never want to turn your heart off. Why would you want to turn your brain off? You know, so learn to kind of sit with these thoughts and these feelings that we have.
Mm.
And I thought that was really interesting, because there's definitely times when I really did want to just hit mute on my own thoughts.
Yeah.
Because I just thought, you're just not being helpful. I am like a cassette tape that is just warped and is, you know, a record player stuck over the same little groove, you know, just over and over and over. I think that's interesting. And even like recently, I've just had to come back to basics and felt like that overwhelm and a lot of the anxiety. And some days it's just even been hard to like decide what to do next, or what the first thing on my day is going to be. And celebrating the small wins, I think, and getting in the habit of that.
Yeah.
It's not something that comes to me naturally. I'm a doer. I'm a goal setter. I'm a chronic overachiever. I like to win awards and things like that.
I never noticed.
But it does. I find that actually, in a way, that doesn't always help.
No, it makes the pressure worse, doesn't
sometimes
it?
Sometimes a successful day could just be, I got up and I food optimised that day. I didn't finish any of my work. I didn't put the washing on. You know, I didn't go to the gym. I just got up and I just ate 3 meals that day. And that sometimes is the level that you have to come back to.
Oh, God, yeah. I remember when I was really poorly with my depression, like, the fact that I got in the shower was, like, the biggest win, you know. And it's understanding that sometimes you can be epic, you can be Wonder Woman, you can fly through life, and then other times, just brushing your hair is enough. And I think we live in a world where we are programmed that we have to excel, we have to achieve, we should do better, we shouldn't have failed. And actually, it's knowing, do you know what? Just surviving is tough. It really, really is. But also, then flipping on its head and just thinking, okay, what right now could I be grateful for? In my food optimizing plan, what is it that's brilliant? You know, I thank food optimizing and SlimWod every day for pasta. It's something I will never, ever give up the love for. But again, it's taking something as little as that and going, actually, that makes me happy. Whereas I could go, oh, do you know what? I feel really rubbish because I'm not allowed to eat 17 chocolate bars a day and lose weight. No, but I'm choosing not to. Mm. And again, it's catching those little things. And you watch how you practice that in one part of your life and it really, really transcends into other parts of your life. So, you know, I'm severely dyslexic and I'd always been told by educational establishments I'd never achieve, I'd never do this, I'd never do that. And actually I learned to want to show people that they were wrong, but also to be grateful for the little achievements. You know what I mean? I didn't learn to read till I was 9. And actually the fact that I could read at 9 was such a big achievement, but to other people it was not important. So I think it's really catching yourself and celebrating those teeny tiny things. Oh no, have I made you cry?
No, it's all right. I feel really sad today. So everything you're saying is so true. And sometimes I wish that I could really like kind of take that on board. I just really struggle at the moment that I worry a lot about the what ifs.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I'm not busy doing, then
the time's there for it to sink in.
And I'm so hard on myself that the gratitude thing is always something that I've just really struggled with, because I think in this society you're always worried about like the things that you know you don't have,
and then things you could do better,
and I feel sad, and then I feel guilty that I feel sad because actually there are so many things that I do have, and it becomes quite a vicious circle.
Yeah. Do you know, when you say you worry about the what ifs, I remember this is gonna sound so bizarre, I used to worry so much about my dad dying. It consumed me constantly about my dad dying and losing him. And you know, the day he died, my worst fear came true. And actually what I realized was my mind had made that far worse than the actual reality was. Oh, I was heartbroken I lost my dad, more than I could ever put into words. But actually I lived through that. And what my mind had taught me is that I built these things into bigger, more stressful situations. And the fear was worrying me more than the reality. Do you know what I mean? And I think you're amazing for sat here and just saying what you said, because it is okay to feel sad. It is okay to feel sad about where you're at or what's going on in your life. It is all right to have all the things in the world and still feel sad. Like, that's really important you know that, because actually it's what happened to all of us. We can have everything and still not feel that we are in a happy place. So I think there'll be a lot of people listening to you right now who probably totally feel the same. I know I've felt exactly the same. I remember when I was newly married and just sitting there and being like, I've got everything on paper I should have, but I'm sadder than I've ever been. And then you're cross with yourself that you were sad, aren't you?
Yeah, I think it's someone set me a challenge, like, at the moment to, it makes me feel a bit sad.
Aww.
Just to like do every day one thing that I'm proud of, say one thing that I'm proud of. And the first few days I really struggled to do it.
Really hard.
And it takes, but it's like you say, it takes practice. And I wish that I could just be better at being grateful and in the present, and
not easy to do though,
rather than constantly living about in the future and worrying about the what ifs.
Yeah,
it's
but you know, I think if I could sit here, and having spent the whole day with you working today, you didn't feel in the zone today, like you didn't, and you should be so proud, because you've got up, you've done it, you've worked hard, you've achieved, you know, amazing things today. But yeah, I know you'll berate yourself because you should have done better, and actually it's just learning to practice that you're okay, Claire.
Yeah,
you're okay. And I get that fear about the future, the present, the past, the what if, because we all have that within, don't we? And I don't know if you find it, some days that is in the back of your mind and you can function, and other days it's like right between your eyes and it's shouting at you, isn't it? But you know, the thing that you should really remain positive with, or I feel proud of you for, is that you've not let the food go out the window. You are still so focused, you are still absolutely working your socks off, and look how far you've come with that. Because you know, it'd be very easy with a lot of stuff that you've been through to go and I'm going to eat all the cake.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's been, being at Target, it's been a really up and down road.
Oh, it's so hard. Did you think it was going to be flat?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe I thought it was a bit more flat. Some weeks I feel like I go up and then I go down.
Yeah.
And it's almost a bit scary, I think, yeah, to kind of allow yourself to kind of have those ebbs and those flows.
Of course, because
that's
fear.
I feel a bit out of control, and it's a new playground. And I don't know what the rules of the game are still. And I just, feel just a bit out of control in everything, and I think it's really easy to forget like where
you come from.
Yeah, and it seems really apt, you know, like we're doing a podcast. I mean, we've documented
our
progress.
Like,
we could go back and listen to it at any point. How many of us just are in denial about where we came from?
Claire, if we want to go back to those first podcasts, I mean, I've had a very boring 3 years in comparison. Like, You sit here a totally different person today to the person that walked in my group, and I don't think you give yourself enough credit for that. I really don't. And there'll be a lot of people listening who are on their weight loss journey who are doing exactly the same. They'll be saying, but I've still got 7 stone to go. But you've lost 3. Do you know what I mean?
But the thing is, I think part of my frustration is I maybe was guilty of thinking that when I lost the weight that my whole life would improve. And I sat here, you know, even like today, I'm sat here and it's like really nice sunny day. It's a really nice part, apart from that flipping noisy
thing. Why do we always get them? They're silent. We get to these places, guys, and they're silent.
I don't.
And then within 4 seconds, it's like they see us here, don't they, in a microphone.
But, you know, like I sit here and this is such a nice place, and, you know, I'm hanging out with you, and yet I still hold that sadness. And and sometimes it's just like, oh, will you just go away now? I've done everything. You know, like I've cleaned up my whole life, you know. Everything's why can't this sadness just go away? Why am I just wish sometimes I'd be a different person.
And but it's like,
it's difficult.
Yeah, it sucks. It really, really sucks. And I remember a psychologist saying to me, accept that this is part of you and it will give you freedom. And I was like, what? And she said, you know what, accept that you have this part of you that is sad, that is down, that is depressed, and it will become bigger and smaller within your life, but you can cope with that. But I think it's understanding, like, you know, I don't know if you, I've come to accept that my body is a certain shape, right? I hold my weight on my tummy. I've got skinny legs, right? I often wish I didn't have a tummy and I maybe had a bottom. But actually, I've come to accept that this is me and I'm okay with that. But what we do with our mental health is that we think we should be happy and everything should align to happiness. But actually, it's okay to live with a sad bit in you. It's how you deal with the sad bit, babe. And you know what? You handle it really well.
It's part of being a creative person,
I
think.
And it's part of being you.
Is that you feel more, maybe.
Yeah, and you feel more. And you know what? Actually, it's part of who you are and who you're becoming. And you will see that it won't always feel this way. It will get better.
Yeah,
And it's
that.
Understanding that, isn't it?
Let's see what Margaret says. Let me read more Margaret.
Margaret's just so...
Oh,
got so
no,
many pearls
I just
of wisdom.
Clicked out of it. Right, I'm back. I'm back.
You're
people.
Back.
Okay, let's rejoice. Oh, no, I just made it small again. Let's rejoice over the foods we can have in unlimited quantities. Let's stay amazed at how much we can eat with food optimizing. Let's remember how before food optimizing, there was hunger, boredom, and misery for slimmers. And let's be delighted that those bad old days are behind us forever. How apt was that? Was she here?
I know.
Was she listening?
Behind the tree, Margaret?
What?
Do you know what? I think it's so key to strip back your gratitude. Actually, I'm grateful for the fact that I've lost weight and I've not starved myself to death. I'm grateful for the fact, like I just said, pasta. That makes me happy every single day. Like, how brilliant that, you know, you have been able to do this through alcohol, through not drinking alcohol, through eating meat, through becoming vegan. Like, that's something to be so proud of and grateful for, that you've had the ability to navigate through so many different minefields of eating and drinking.
The thing is, they're physical things that you can take away, right? Which is why I find this psychological thing interesting. Hard. Because, you know, I can stop eating chocolate, I can stop eating takeaway or food delivery, but I can't always stop my thoughts. Mm. And I just, it's just this act of being kind to myself and nice to myself and backing myself and being proud of myself. That, you know, even just a small task of like thinking something that you're proud of today, how much that just completely floored me.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh crap, I thought I dealt with all this. But I thought I was on it.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting how it's an ongoing process, right?
And it's that acceptance. I remember reading a book called Stop Thinking, Start Living. And when he says in this book, you are the creator of these thoughts. And actually, that's really powerful, because you're the creator of the positive ones and the negative ones, the good ones and the bad ones. But actually, it's understanding that this is part of you. And, you know, I remember thinking when I'd lost all my weight, I'm fixed. No, Anna. You are not fixed. This is a progress. This is something that you work on. You develop new habits, but this isn't something that comes naturally to you. So you are going to be working on the fact that you want to stay slim for forever. Mm. And actually taking that pressure off and accepting that part of me has been very freeing. Whereas what I had never accepted was that I was overweight and I did struggle with my weight. And that's something that I have to actively work on. You know, like if you're brilliant at running, that's something you're brilliant at. If you're not brilliant at running, you may accept that it's not your thing, or you learn to be better. But with weight loss and our emotions, we feel like, well, I've worked on this, I should be fixed. Mm. No. Mm. It's accepting that this is part of you, and that's what makes you you. And that's what's so special, because you are you. You're not me. You're not someone else. And it's just, it's accepting. I don't want to make you cry again. I can see a lip about to go.
Yeah.
You know, I think what you say has probably helped a lot of people today, because we get looked at, you know, on the podcast as like, you've lost all this weight, I've lost a lot of weight, is it okay? And it's knowing, do you know what? That even losing the weight, you still have to work, and it still is hard. But it's getting that support.
Spoiler alert.
I know. Yeah, sorry, guys. If you're new to the podcast. No, but again, it's being grateful for the fact that you've got a support system. It's having that. It's knowing that actually you can speak openly about this. You're a member of a Slim World group. You've got great friends. You've got great family. You can get those resources and support to talk about it. You're not just on your own, are you?
I definitely feel like if I feel sad, I don't fall as hard and as fast as I used to. You know, I definitely kind of teeter on the edge of some quite scary cliff edges mentally before. Yeah. And I knew when I kind of fell over that it took a long time for me to get back up. Whereas I don't feel I've kind of been in that situation, because I'm just at a bit of a higher base, if you know
exactly
what I mean.
But celebrate that. You've taken yourself up a notch. So yes, your bad days are never going to be as bad as your worst that have been. Mm. And it's terrifying when you've struggled with your mental health. Because
I think the past, you can be quite fearful that the past will repeat itself.
Yes, I remember saying to Phil, I can't ever go back here. I'm too scared to ever go back here. And I lived in fear of being that sick again. And actually, I've never got that sick again, because I had skills to deal with it.
Yeah, it's funny when you can't take the evidence, because my fear is that I'll lose everything that I've worked so hard to build.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of, a few years ago, I was literally starting from nothing, you know.
Where you are now, you're not going to lose it.
No job, you know, was not really sure about what was happening with a living situation, built a business, was at the bottom.
Home, got married.
Yeah.
Do you know all of those things? And again,
there's always someone to worry about.
But again, and it's recognizing that, but it's how you deal with the worry. And I totally get the work I've had to do on myself to be able to survive my own mind has been the biggest work I think I've ever undertaken, because your mind is the thing that you live with and you can never escape. Mm. It really, really is. But you know, Margaret says here, finally, let's be ecstatic about our decision never to give up or lose hope, to build our belief in ourselves no matter what has happened in the past. We do have the power to set our minds to do whatever we want to. Let's always hold on to that thought tight together, because we can do it. And it's actually knowing that, Claire, you've never quit on yourself. It'd be very tempting to, but you haven't.
Really
haven't.
Definitely had some choices to do that, but it's funny in those moments of absolute despair what like kind of motivates you.
Oh, and the way it always happens in a podcast, a dog comes up to you. You know, and this is to anyone listening, like, it's really hard to sit there and find a positive when you don't feel positive. But there will be something, even if it's you go, do you know what, I like the colour of the tiles in my kitchen. Or, do you know what, I took the rubbish bin out today. And it's really, really finding that. And I always think when I don't find anything positive about myself, I'll ask someone. And they won't turn around and go, Claire, you're rubbish, you're this, you're this, you're this. They go, Claire, you're fabulous, you're dedicated, you're kind, you're caring, you're funny. They would come out with a million things, so it's hearing other people's words as well. So if you want to kind of practice that gratitude, watch what other people do, watch what other people say about you, or just watch people who just take little things and celebrate them rather than thinking you've got to win all the gold medals to be amazing because you haven't.
That's where... like doing this 6-minute diary has been interesting, because not only has it got like the to-do list, it's also got like, you know, what it's got two titchy lines, I've got to say, of what I'm grateful for. It's got another two lines of what I'm looking forward to, and it's got two lines for two things that you're going to do today to help you relax. And it's also got a box which says, what one thing will I do today, to kind of call... you know, a success. Just what one thing, if I do this one thing and nothing else for the rest of the day, will that be a success? And I think it seems like that's a little bit of a healthier way to kind
of it,
approach it.
Like, I brush my teeth. Do you know what I mean? And I had to start as small as that. Like, I've made my bed today. Actually, I got to the end of the stairs and I walked, or, you know what, I did. And it's thinking, I think, when you're like, you're such an overachiever like you are, if it's not amazing, you failed. And it's knowing there is a vast gap between the two. And it's reminding yourself of how far you've come. It really is. And that's to anybody out there who's thinking, do you know what, I've gained weight, or I should have lost more, or I haven't even started. Well, do you know what? Today's a new day. And you can start that practice today. You really, really can. I remember when I walked in group after I'd sat in the car park of 6 groups. And I was angry. And I was angry that I hadn't walked in 6 groups before. And then I thought, hold on a second. Don't take away from the fact you just walked in. But again, that's what we do to ourselves, don't we? You should have done better. You should have been faster. You should have been quicker. You should have been lighter. No, you're existing. I'm going to take you for a coffee or something.
We've got some comments. The worst printout known to man.
I mean, how we cobbled this shenanigans
together. We actually started a post on our Instagram page at Slimming World Podcast, where we asked people to just put there and then what three things are they grateful for. And you can go and add yours if you wish.
Please
that post
do.
Will be open. You'll find it there. It's a little red square with the words on, and we printed out people's things. But would you like me to?
I mean, there's one I can read the rest, but yeah, please.
I kind of starred a couple, but there are so many. I mean we're talking
hundreds,
like
loads.
Hundreds is a bit of an exaggeration.
Oh, okay. There's two pages. Oh, I thought they were done. Okay,
pages.
There's numerous.
Where we went wrong was that we printed in colour, and the blue ones,
we can't
which we've highlighted here, are unreadable. Okay, so I'm just going to pick out a couple here.
Ellie
says, I'm grateful for food optimising. Not dieting or calorie counting was a game changer. I'm grateful for a supportive husband who has encouraged me every step of the way. I'm grateful for my group who look out for each other and make each other fun. But let's have a look. I know there was a couple of people that I wanted to shout out here. So Anna here says, after losing 2.5 stone so far, my blood sugar is out of pre-diabetics range, my liver function is back to normal, and less weight on my arthritic joints.
I love that Alison just basically says, healthy extras, 2 of them, so I can have loads of cheese and milk.
Mary says, I can play with my daughter properly as my weight-induced asthma has calmed down. I'm a lot more confident about myself and the knowledge that I'm always in control. Even if I do slide off the rails occasionally, I have the tools to get to be where I want to be. I don't feel helpless around food.
Anzi says, no longer eating away my loneliness because I've made some great friends at group. Standing strong with self-control and self-confidence. The compliments and the claps and the cheers from others in group and people in real life noticing you look and seem happy and healthy. Oh, I love that.
Let me just pick out two just to finish. Sarah says, gaining my self-confidence back, the ability to join in with exercise classes after a lifelong fear of PE sessions at school,
with your sister,
realizing I do not need to feel guilty at eating anything not on plan. And Becky says here, my new Slimming World friends, starting to like photographs again and looking for clothes that aren't just black leggings.
Oh, what a way to end. Black leggings have a lot to blame
for. So interesting, because I used to wear nothing but black leggings, yeah, and I can't remember the last time I did wear black leggings.
I have to say, I live in black leggings, but the black leggings I live in now are now 5 sizes smaller than the black leggings I had when I joined Slimming World.
Who buys different size pair of leggings? You just buy big and then it works for everything, doesn't it?
No, but I couldn't wear my old leggings. Yeah, I'm 5 sizes down.
So, I mean, I don't know.
Did they just stretch with you?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was too big.
I think I was in denial that I never bought the big leggings in the first place. I just bought the medium size and stretched it.
Oh, no, I went all through the scale.
The full scale of leggings.
Seriously, because you know when it's time to move on, when you can see your knickers through them. Do you know what I mean?
And that's why I don't wear leggings anymore.
Yeah. I thought that's why you're going to don't wear knickers. I thought that's what you were saying. Anyway, guys, she's cried. We've talked about her knickers. We've talked about food. She is now smiling.
And whatever the hedge trimmer has gone away.
Thank goodness. And the sun is shining. So we are grateful. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for the podcast. And I'm grateful for pasta.
What?
Seriously?
Pasta plonker podcast.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Don't call yourself a plonker.
Okay. I don't know what to say to that.
You
so I think we'll round it off.
I think we'll catch you soon, and we're just proud of you all for taking some time to listen to us, and we hope we've helped.
Pigeon, that's another P. Pasta, pigeons and podcasts.
I mean, I'm not a fan of pigeons, if I'm honest.
Okay, right, fair play.
Poppies.
Yep. Well,
poodles. No. Podcast poodles, pasta, pants.
That's why we need to end this podcast.
Goodbye, farewell.
Have a great week. Speak to you soon.